Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to a very special edition of Sunday Night Live.
Hallelujah. I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Hallelujah. You know, 6 months ago, almost, January 1st, 2017.
A great day.
It was a great day. We had a conference call with people literally all around the world as a part of it. And we shared how God had told us that 2017 was the year of unlimited miracles.
Amen and hallelujah.
And He directed us to have six special conference calls and live streams about the year of miracles. And tonight's number six. Now, we have Sunday Night Live every Sunday. But it's only on these occasions that people dial in by phone or view the live stream. So we're delighted you're here tonight. And if you feel that the first 6 months, it hasn't been what you expected or what you hoped for.
Or maybe you're just getting started. Or maybe you're just getting started. Because we've had miracle testimonies.
Yes, we do.
And we don't want to quit now.
And we've had some 24-hour miracle testimonies,
praise
too.
Praise the Lord.
So it's really a matter of getting started and doing the thing that needs to be done. Was it muted?
It was on speakerphone.
Oh, okay. Well, that would make a difference. For those of you at free conferencing call, I apologize. It's good. Okay, anyhow, we're here, we're good to go. But I don't need distractions.
That's right.
And that's just the enemy trying to distract us. Because if you haven't been, if you're not where you thought you'd be right now, tonight is for you. And because we meditated about what to teach tonight. And you see, you might feel like that you've done nothing to make you achieve what you want to do, that you're not standing out, that you're not being recognized or noticed for what you're doing in the kingdom or in business or in your family, in any segment of your life.
Or possibly making the progress you think you wanted to make. But the point of it is God could be using things behind the scene, we say it all the time, don't we, honey, that are moving you into a position that you haven't even seen yet.
And so this is for you tonight.
Yes, indeed.
And the first question I want to ask you is this. And I'm not going to ask you if you're where you want to be, because you know that. And I can't hear you answer anyhow. But here's the question I'm going to ask you. How do you want to be known? How do you want to be known? Saved, successful, effective steward, great spouse, visionary, excellent parent, wonderful son or daughter. The list could go on and on. How do you want to be known? Now, frankly, I want to be known, honey, as all those things. But I also want to be known as the man with the picture. The man with the picture. That's how I want to be known. And really, this first stirred in me with a friend of ours who was telling us a story how he'd been on an airport shuttle bus in Atlanta with a guy who, at the time, was running for Congress. And the guy said to him, "How do you want to be known?" And he said, "Well, a friend of mine told me that he wants to be known as the man with the picture. And that's how I want to be known. Known as a man with the picture." And you're going, "Brother Harold, what is that?" Well, let me just tell you, the key to your success in the next 189 days of this year and beyond into 2018 comes down to how you're known, if you're known as a man with the picture, man or woman with the picture. And so that's what we're going to talk about.
Mark 14, verse 12, in the Classic Amplified Bible. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when, as was customary, they killed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you wish us to go and prepare the Passover supper for you to eat?" Now, this was a significant day in the life of Jesus. It is the last time that he would share a meal with his disciples before his arrest, persecution, and crucifixion. And in Mark 14.
This is powerful. This next
group of scriptures. This tells you where we're going. 13 through 16, and the Classic Amplified continues. And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man carrying an earthen jar or pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him, and whatever house he enters, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover supper with my disciples? And he will himself show you a large upper room furnished with carpets and with table couches and properly spread and ready there prepare for us. Then the disciples set out and came to the city and found everything just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover.
This is a significant passage of Scripture with life-changing, destiny-shaping potential and revelation. Now, I didn't mention this at the top of the program. Those of you who join us every Sunday night, you know that if you go to haroldherring.com, double-click Join Harold and Bev, yeah, you can see the live stream. But there's also an outline available for tonight's teaching. It's got all the scriptures with the specific translation that we use, and it also has all the key points in it. Mm-hmm. We do this every Sunday night, but this is a particularly important night tonight. Okay, let's talk about seven ways to be the man with the pitcher.
Or the woman with
Or the woman.
Right.
Whoa, man. Now I look at you as a woman, I go, whoa.
But
never mind. Okay, number one, be a divine connection. I don't have time to go there. At this particular time in history that we're talking about, men did not carry earthen jars or pitchers of water. Women did. The only way men carried this was in large animal skins on the back of a donkey. That's the only way they carried water. So some would ask, why was this man carrying water? Was his wife sick, disabled, or dead? Probably not, because he'd have had his children carrying the water. Perhaps his world had come crashing down to where he was a servant in another man's household. But that's a little bit of a stretch. The man was carrying a pitcher of water so that he could be easily identified in a large city like Jerusalem, because Jesus told his disciples to look for the man carrying a pitcher of water. Now, some people would think this was demeaning because it was things that was usually done by women. But this man was carrying this pitcher of water. Unknowingly, perhaps to him, this man was a divine connection, a divine connection, facilitating the plan of God. He was in the right place at the right time,
doing the right thing
by divine direction.
Amen.
And see, that's where we want to be. Mm. We want to be in the right place at the right time by divine direction. And it doesn't matter what everybody around us is thinking. It doesn't matter what people around you have been thinking for the last 6 months. The thing is that you're in the right position right now to be a divine connection.
Amen.
And that's critical. That's critical. So the question for each of us, are we positioned to be a divine connection? Are we? Have you ever had some extra money come into your hands just in time to be a blessing to someone else? Mm. Honey, I remember 30 plus years ago when the Lord stirred you and he helped you identify 10 women.
Oh.
And you sent them $10 each, wrapped it in a letter so where the money wasn't visible, addressed it, but didn't put our return address on it or anything else. And you sent it to these women. And they didn't know where money came from. But God allowed you to hear one of those women talking to someone else. And with tears in her eyes, she was talking about how she got this miracle $10 in the mail. Now, for some people, $10 was a miracle. For this woman, it was. Because she went on to say that $10 came in just in time for her to buy some medicine that her son desperately needed.
That tells you how long it was, because $10 wouldn't go very far anymore. But we've done things together even, and done things over the years that have been fun.
We talked about that. You asked me about it. We agreed,
right.
And you did it. And it was a divine connection for people. And we've done that so many times over the years since.
Not that exact thing, but similar things.
Well, kind of we have a time or two. sent money to people and they didn't know it.
But the point of it is to be blessed, to be a blessing, and be used of God and be in a divine connection. That's the point.
To be a divine connection
in the
so that God can be glorified.
Amen.
So that God can be glorified by what you do. Every time we bless others at God's directions,
right,
we become a kingdom connector.
That's right.
And I like being kingdom connectors.
Make kingdom connections.
Because He wants us to, He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others.
That's right.
That's what we do.
Wow. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 in the Classic Amplified says, "And God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance of every good work and charitable donation." Now that is what I call being able to be the blessing, to be a be blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
In every way.
And sometimes it's in big ways.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's small ways. Sometimes they know, and sometimes they don't, but it's always.
Always being a blessing.
Available to be a divine connector.
The point.
And see, you may not be where you think you ought to be, but just think back over the previous 6 months. Has God used you as a kingdom connector to encourage someone, to bless someone, by either what you speak or financially or by, you know, whatever it is? Don't allow the enemy to minimize your value and the things you've done as a kingdom connection.
And again, I think the whole point of tonight, the thing that Harold and I have gone over and talked about and meditated on, is the fact that sometimes you may not know all the good that you are doing. We may not know it, but it doesn't mean that it is not happening for you. See, the enemy likes to convince you that this just isn't working. But let me help you to think of things through as we go through these scriptures, and we use the man with a pitcher. When Joseph was going through his trials, he made out of felt like a kingdom connector. See, we think of Joseph when he ruled and reigned, but he went through a lot of hardships before he ruled and reigned. King David, when he was anointed to be king, didn't become king immediately. He had his wilderness experience so that he would be equipped, so that when God put his hand on, I mean, everything that he went through in the wilderness, God had his hand on. And God picked, Gideon in the Midian to beat the Midianites. And he was the least of his tribe, of the least tribe of Judah at the time. So
Words of his mouth.
But yeah, he said, "I'm the least of the least. Why would you choose me?" God chooses, but you know, this is what happens. The devil takes you up to bring you down, but God takes us down to bring us up.
Hallelujah.
And so, you know, when we go through these things, we can't let the enemy discourage us. And that's why the Word of God living and breathing in us is essential if we want to make it in this life. So,
Number two, be a servant.
Amen.
Now, you might say, "Brother Harold, Sister Bev, what does this have to do with our year of unlimited miracles?" It has everything to do with it. First off, you want to have unlimited miracles, you need to be a kingdom connection.
Yeah.
And second, you need to be a servant. Greatness is not measured by public perception
of
you, but rather a deliberate decision to serve others as God directs you.
Amen.
That's the key. Greatness is not measured by public perception, but rather by a deliberate decision to serve others the way God directs you to do so.
And if you say, "Well, why would I want to be a servant?" You know what? The greatest, really,
come on,
they start and they end up having a servant mentality to be able to put others first. God can't, I'm telling you, you can't outdo God. When you serve others and He blesses you, you just can't outdo Him. Mark 9:35 says, "And He sat down and called the 12," this is Jesus, "and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all."
That is so powerful.
It is. I mean, I'll let you take off.
It's important to remember that Jesus spoke those words right after verse 35, where the disciples are arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom.
There you go.
I mean, these are people who travel with him, who eat with him, who sleep with, not with him, but, you know, in the area. They're all together.
They traveled and did everything together.
They did everything together.
That's right.
They saw the miracles. They heard teaching that was revelatory for them. But yet, this is when they're having that conversation. And sometimes people don't understand what it really means to be a servant. Mm. They when you say servant, unfortunately for most people, the thing that comes to mind is something they've seen on television. Somebody who's a servant in a household. Or
they think of more like a slave. Yeah. But that is not the context in which this is, you know, necessarily.
The word servant in the verse 35 is the Greek word G1249.
You're going to do your best on that?
I'm going to do my best on it. Diakonos or something to that effect. That's why I say G1249.
That's it.
I can remember that and you can too. You can look it up. But here's what it means. One who executes the command of another, a master, a servant, attendant, minister, the servant of a king, a deacon, one who by virtue of the office assigned to him by the church, cares for the poor, and has charge of and distributes the money collected for their use. A study of the other scriptures where this word is used reveals that Jesus is really telling the disciples that if they want to be a leader, a minister to people, they must be willing to listen to what the Spirit is saying and obey. And that needs to be ahead of all their desires. And it's really an attitude that empowers people to be successful.
A servant, a leader is a servant because he is literally looking out for everybody who's underneath him. He's looking out for them, watching over them, and making sure that things get done on their behalf. Matthew 20, verse 26, I'd like to have a lot of politicians who would read that descriptions. However, Matthew 20, verse 26, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister.
Hallelujah.
And they're interchangeable.
This Greek word is found 31 times in 29 verses in the King James Bible. And the terms servant and minister are used interchangeably during that time period.
You're ministering to people.
And you see, I believe that's what the man with the pitcher was doing. If people saw him, they weren't recognizing the significance of what he was doing and why he was doing it and how God was going to use him. And you got to know, people may not recognize what you've been doing for the first six of this months of this year, but you're being positioned for a breakthrough as long as you take care of the basics. Be a kingdom connection. Be a server, a servant.
Yeah, and we're about to get into three, but I want to mention too, I actually talked to a lady, I believe it was this week, that was talking about how she just, you know, was going to a church that she didn't feel like. She said that the man of God is so full of power, but he's not being released because the people kind of hold him back. It's kind of religious. And I said, and I mean, the Lord, it's like the Lord spoke to me. She's there. She says, I pray for him all the time. And I went, you're there to pray for him and to break that church out of that through prayer. She does, you know, it's, and so many people leave their position at work, leave, you know, they're not happy. They want to move on. You know, they want to get out of there. The point is, if you're leaving an assignment God's given you, that assignment can't be fulfilled.
It's true.
So anyway, I wanted to add that in.
You gave her good advice.
Number three.
Be a leader.
Amen.
There are defining moments in our lives where we step into a position of leadership, sometimes knowingly and sometimes unknowingly. The man with a pitcher of water unknowingly led the way for the living water, Jesus, to serve the disciples.
That's so good.
And ultimately, each of us.
Amen.
See, sometimes, and we're going to get to this in a minute, but sometimes what you're doing now is you're being used to put things in order, for greater miracles and revelation to come, not just to you, but to others.
I remember, the story of Reinhard Bonnke and the man of God who was lost in Germany, couldn't find his way, trying to find his next assignment, stumbles on the village, this village in the middle of nowhere, where Reinhard Bonnke's grandfather is suffering. His dad is a young youth, about, I don't know, it was 10 or 12 years old. Sees his grandfather healed of his affliction, and saved, and all through this ministry.
The whole village got saved.
Yes, through
this. Because of the miraculous healing.
Of this man, and then the young boy, his father, was seeing this. They became Christian and changed the whole place upside down. But the point I'm making in bringing the story around, and I really nutshelled it, it's a longer story. The point being is that this man who was a Christian wandering around in the forest of Germany probably thought, what am I doing here? Why am I here? I'm lost. I can't even find my way. I'm surely out of the will of God. He was right smack dab in the will of God. And how often are we doing things where we think, is this God's will? I'm just faithfully kind of executing every day what I feel like is I'm going forward in, but God is using you.
This
God
man may have said, that. What difference am I making?
Exactly.
But the point is, by leading Reinhard Bonnke's father to the Lord, grandfather to the Lord, his father getting saved, and then Reinhard has literally led millions and millions of people to the Lord around the world. When I say millions, he has meetings in Africa where there are a million people in the meeting.
So we're talking, this man has made a major impact.
But you see, this man in his natural life may not have known what his stumbling into that village on a...
He was a man with a pitcher.
I think it was a cold, snowy night, but he was on divine assignment, and he probably didn't know it. And that could well be some of you watching around the world, or some of you. You know, here tonight.
Amen.
And let me say this, whether you see yourself as a leader or not is not the really issue. You just need to know that God created you with seeds of greatness. He put seeds of greatness in you. He gave you the image of himself to be a leader in your family, your friends, maybe your church, your business, whatever. And if for no other reason to be the leader God called you to be,
amen.
There's a profound reason.
Yes.
Found in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Just joining, if you go to heraldherring.com, click Join Harold and Bev Sunday Night, that button, you'll be able to find the outline for tonight's teaching.
Amen. 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18 in the Message Bible says, give a bonus to leaders who do a good job, especially the ones who work hard at preaching and teaching. Scripture tells us don't muzzle a working ox, and a worker deserves his pay. So, where are you in your role as a leader?
Are you willing to go the extra mile?
That's it.
Are you willing to go through? I think it was a cold, snowy night that man went into Reinhard Bonnke's grandfather's village.
Yeah.
Are you willing to do what's not convenient for you? Are you willing to move on when you really can't see the results of what you've been doing?
Exactly.
You're not called to see the results. If you do, that's a serendipity. But we are called to be obedient, to be the person with the picture.
Right.
That's what we're called to be. And I saw years ago a saying in an office, and I have it somewhere in our stuff. The saying was, initiative is doing the right thing without being told to do it.
That's right.
And that's the key. It's the key for a man or woman of God. It's a key to people who want to be successful and fulfill their dreams and goals for 2017 and beyond. So we need to be ready.
We need to be like
the baddie, ever ready for our next assignment from God. And even though it may seem mundane, maybe even meaningless, it's not. Because
right.
I said earlier, we may never know this side of heaven, the significance of how God has used us as a person and a woman with the picture.
That's right.
He gives us, if God gives us the assignment, it's important. No matter what it is.
Exactly.
We need to be about it.
Amen.
Number four, be a facilitator.
Being a facilitator.
Be a facilitator. According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, facilitator means one that helps to bring about an outcome as learning, productivity, or communication by providing indirect or unobtrusive assistance, guidance, or supervision. The man with the picture was a facilitator without even knowing the full impact of how he's being used. You may be a facilitator. You may have never seen yourself as a facilitator. Nobody may have never called you a facilitator. But the point is, if we're moving in obedience to his divine direction,
Amen.
Then we are facilitating the Word of God in our assignment in this life.
I am convinced, really, that the body of Christ, if we all found our position in the body of Christ, instead of saying, well, I wonder if I should be here or if I should be there, I shouldn't be in the nursery, I should be an usher or something. If we all found our places, then everybody, the body functions fully and freely because everybody's in their place. When the head, Jesus, says he's the head, tells the body to move, it's not malfunctioning because we're not in the right place. We could save the world in a week if we were all in the right place and everybody was paying attention to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Know this, God wants to use each of us as a facilitator.
That's right.
And let me give you an example. If you have a friend undergoing a difficult time because of a diagnosis from the doctor, ask yourself, is God speaking to you to speak a word of comfort to them in season? Are you being directed to send them scriptural messages or messages of encouragement every day by text or by email? Or are you being directed to, how are you being directed to help them stir up their most holy faith? See, there are things like that you can do. And you can also go lay hands on them if God directs you to do that.
Right.
But the point is, you can be used by God to facilitate a healing. Some years ago, maybe 7, 8 years ago, God stirred me on our website to put how you can personalize
yes.
scriptures. And there are 9 different categories. Psalm 20, 23, 91, overcoming fear, overcoming rejection,
healing,
financial success,
right.
and just being
Several.
Successful. 9 of them. And I can't tell you how many times that I've had interacted with somebody personally.
That's right.
And they didn't know about this. And they came up to me and I said, let me print something for you. I'm going to print a copy for you, but I'm also going to send it to your email address. And there are 7 healing scriptures that have been personalized with their name in it. And numerous times when I hand this to the person, sometimes it's the one who needs the healing scriptures.
Right.
Sometimes it's someone who wants them for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen them weep because they are recognizing the power in the Word of God.
And putting their personalizing
it. And see, if you do nothing else but take those scriptures to somebody, then you're facilitating their healing. You're helping them to stir their faith and to know that they can move to
Amen.
A new level. And the same can be said if the adversity is financial,
right.
a family, or some other problem. And just realize that God is using you as a witness to help others facilitate His plan for their lives and their future.
Go ahead.
My 90-year-old dad, he is a salvation facilitator.
Amen to that.
He makes it his business to be used by God to help challenge the outcome, the internal destination
Amen.
Of every person he meets. He just turned 90 last month. But I remember probably 5 or 6 years ago, I called him early in the morning on his birthday, and then I called him around lunchtime. I said, what you doing, Daddy? You had a good birthday? He said, yeah, I've been fishing. Called him later that day. I said, Daddy, how was the afternoon? He says, good, I've been fishing. Now, most people would think, because he lives on a lake, that he was out wetting a hook in the back. But we knew.
Not Daddy.
We knew that on his birthday,
that's right.
he was leading somebody to the Lord.
Amen.
And that's what he calls fishing.
Amen.
He's a fisher of men. Maybe that's where God's got you. Maybe God has got you as a facilitator to lead people to the Lord. Maybe he's got you just speaking a word of encouragement to someone, to help them go through what they're going through during the day.
the thing to remember is that no matter what it is that we're called to do, I mean, I keep a prayer list. I like to pray. When something comes up and you hear a name, I might not even know the person, but sometimes it'll, people like, you know, that are called to pray, that it'll just hit them. And I mean, I pray often for people that I don't even know, but I feel that there's to be on my prayer list, or I feel led to put them on my prayer list. There are a lot of ways in which we every day come in contact, and if we're tuned into the Spirit, we know that we're able to help these people, or there's something to do. And if we're faithful in that, if we just faithfully execute what God is assigning us every day, and it is an assignment when we're doing what it is that you're feeling led to do at that moment, when we do that, then God is going to bring success into our lives, no matter how small or how minute or how, you know, seemingly every day, you know, just very common that it is, because God is working on us to be facilitators, really.
And being used of God to facilitate the good things that He planned for us long ago is a blessed way to live.
It is.
It's a blessed way to live.
Ephesians 2:10 in the New Living Translation says, "For we are God's masterpiece." There's no asterisk at this that says you don't qualify. Everybody qualifies.
Come on now.
"For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago," just like my husband said.
Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
We are God's masterpiece. Hallelujah.
I like number five.
I like number five too. Be prepared.
Hallelujah.
Be prepared. Abraham Lincoln once said, "I will prepare and someday my chance will come."
And it came.
And it came.
Boy, did it come.
Lincoln also was asked one time, what would he do if he had 8 hours to chop down a tree? Lincoln said, "If I had 8 hours to chop down a tree, I'd spend 7 hours sharpening my axe." Mm. So how much time do we spend sharpening our axe?
That's right.
How much time do we spend on trips to the beauty parlor or the body, you know, beauty salon? Now it's called a salon, isn't it?
Not I'm beauty pretty sure.
Salon. Or the barber shop for haircuts. You know, do's, bobs, weaves, or coloring, or whatever.
Whatever we do.
And how much money do we spend on hairsprays, gel, shampoo, brushes, picks, and hair dryers? See, we spend all that money on the outside of our head. The question is, how much money do we spend on what's going inside our head?
Amen.
that's
the question.
How much money do we spend doing that? You know, your book and CD library will reveal the depth of your respect for money and success, because it'll reveal what's going into your mind.
That's right.
If you spend $400 on a car payment, $130 on gas, $1,200 on an apartment, how much do you spend on books and tapes that will feed the greatest computer ever invented?
That's
your
right.
mind? Or are you preparing for your future by spending more on DVD rentals at Netflix, or, you know, that you watch
Red
on
Box
Netflix
or
Redbox, that's what I was trying to think of, Redbox, than you do on what will put the pure, the powerful, the positive from the Word of God into your brain by listening to anointed teaching.
Amen.
When was the last time you bought a book that was meant to improve yourself? From a Christian bookstore,
hallelujah,
or a CD, or get an MP3, you know, to help change your mind, and just to get you where you need to be. This is the kind of preparation that's important that we'll never really know until our kingdom moment arrives. Now, we need to know that preparation always precedes promotion. Brother Harold, there's not a Christian bookstore in my town. Well, go to ChristianSoldierBookstore.com and just click and you can buy books there. You can go to HaroldHerring.com, go to the store. There's books there, CDs, DVDs, all kinds of stuff. There is no excuse. And let me also tell you, on our website, HaroldHerring.com, there's a lot of free stuff. There's over 1,400 2-minute videos. And and 4 to 7 minute videos. Yeah, it may be more than that now, Stephen, I'm not sure. But I know it's at least 1,400. And then there's, you can check all the Sunday Night Live messages, watch them, mm-hmm. get the outlines. And now our podcast, our Rich Thoughts for Breakfast podcast, are posted every week. And by the way, I need to look it up. There were 2 days last week that I really felt like was what God wanted us to teach tonight. But I got a clear answer that I was to go ahead and do it. But before we get off the air tonight, I'm going to tell you what those two are. When will this last week's podcast be up?
Tomorrow.
I want you to listen to these 2 days because it'll move you from where you are, help move you from where you are to where
That's
you
right.
want to be.
Amen.
Were you going to say something?
You went on by and it's good.
Okay.
It's fine. It's all good.
Here's the point. You can never be sure when your opportunity is coming your way.
That's right.
But you need to be prepared.
Yes.
Always be prepared for it. The man with the pitcher didn't realize that he was a kingdom connection for the Lord, but he was nevertheless prepared.
That's right.
You want to make the next 6 months the greatest 6 months of your life? Starting tomorrow? That gives you a few more days, 189 days from today, from Sunday night. Then be prepared. Number six, be ready for things to change. Be ready for things to change. Circumstances and facts change. Truth doesn't.
Never changes.
And God's word is truth.
Amen.
That's powerful.
It is.
The man with the pitcher saw his circumstances change when he went to do what was probably viewed as woman's work.
Back then, women didn't count for much.
Yet something that others would have considered demeaning for some men would think that, not the man with the pitcher.
That's right.
I believe that man was ready for things to change. Now, how did he get the unction to do that? We'll find out in heaven. I don't know.
Yes, we will.
But the point is, he did. See, you got to know if you're prepared and you're ready for things to change. God is going to put, if you're doing the things we've talked about so far tonight, God is going to position you.
Yes.
To be a kingdom connection, to be a servant, to do the things that we've been talking about.
All those things.
And if you're ready for things to change, they'll change. And let me just tell you, your financial condition can change. It can change by sudden illness or accident, an unforeseen layoff, or some sort of catastrophic event, such as death or divorce. But it can also change for the better.
Amen.
With an unexpected bonus, an increase in salary.
A new job.
A new job, a promotion.
Amen.
And maybe even an inheritance. So be nice to all your distant relatives. Because you never know. Anyhow,
the point of it is not how it's going to happen. Let God concern himself with how it's going to happen. The point is to be prepared and to daily stay faithful in the word, changing, but unchanging in your faithfulness, unchanging in your commitment, but always preparing and building and continuing in the word.
And
I think
knowing,
getting that word is so
and
important.
And knowing what the word of God says
yes,
will
so
come true
it.
In your life. Because Malachi 3:6 says,
Woo.
I am the Lord and I
change not.
He has not given up on you. You may
right.
feel like there's nobody around, but he hasn't changed. He hasn't given up on you.
That's right.
Because it says in Hebrews 13:8.
Now, that was the Old Testament. You say, oh, well, that was Old Testament. Here is New Testament.
Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is always the same yesterday, today, yes,
and
forever to the ages.
That's Hebrews 13:8.
If God doesn't change,
amen,
and he doesn't. If his word doesn't change,
and it doesn't.
If God promises to remain the same,
and they do,
then it's fairly obvious that our circumstances are the ones and things that need to change.
That's right.
And can change.
Because we can go deeper.
Yes.
So let's go deeper. Matthew 3 verse 2 says, in saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I like that, at hand too. At hand means it's right here. It's right here. It's at hand. It's right here. God is waiting for us to believe that things can change and that the word is true.
Now listen, Strong's Concordance defines that word repent. It's G3344. G3344, and I put it in the notes because this is important. Repent means to change one's mind. Change your mind about where you think you are.
That's right.
Change your mind about what you think your possibilities are. Change your mind about the fact that you may not see opportunities, but they're there because God's bringing them to you.
That's right.
You need to change your mind about what's going to happen in the next 6 months.
Amen.
And know that it's not going to be the same.
That's right.
As it was the past 6 months.
And it's going to be even better. If it's been growing, it's just going to get better because we are on a mission this year to see miracles manifested. Well, how are they going to be manifested? Because we are changing and growing and becoming more and more knowledgeable of the word, being expectant that the word is going to come to pass. And that's what brings it to pass because we change. You know, Harold just said this, and I think it's worth going over. The word is going to stay the same. The word, you know, is the same. We are the ones that are going to change. Amplified Bible of Matthew, translation of Matthew 3:2 says, in saying,
this is it.
Repent, think differently, change your mind, regretting your sins, and changing your conduct. See, this is what's bringing us, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
I think you need to underline in that scripture, think differently, change your mind, regretting your sins, and changing your conduct. You want to know how to move from where you are to where God wants you to be? That's it.
That's it.
Think differently.
Don't
change your mind.
About being born again immediately. I mean, people say, oh, repent. Well, I already know that scripture, and that's old to me. No, read it again in the Amplified where it says we have to change our mind. You know, regretting. I mean, we do things we regret probably every day. So, you know, and let our conduct be constantly changing for the better, constantly changing.
When we change, let me say it this way, where a person spends eternity, heaven or hell, changes when they change their mind and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Whether you live in lack or surplus changes when you change your mind and you do something about your situation.
That's right.
Whatever circumstances you're dealing with, change when you change your mind.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Romans 12:2 in the Classic Amplified Bible. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. I want to stop right there and say, we're bombarded every single day when you drive down the street and are bombarded with all these things that you're seeing, all these billboards and everything you see. When you get on Facebook, when you turn on the television, you're bombarded with all of the ways and even social customs that we run into when we talk to people every day that are molded by this world. It says, be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. If we're not in the Word, renewing and washing our minds and washing ourselves every day, just like a shower takes the grit of whatever you've gone through in the day, the Bible and the Word sets us up to be able to fight off those things that are bombarding us, you know, every day in our mental process. That's just as important as washing your body, as washing your mind. One more verse, Acts 3:19. This is in the Living Bible. Love this. Now change your mind and attitude to God and turn to Him so He can cleanse away your sins and send you wonderful times of refreshment from the presence of the Lord. Who doesn't need the presence of the Lord? We carry Him with us every day. But do we allow Him to then speak into our lives every day and be a constant part of who we are every day? Or is He just there waiting for us to bring Him and listen to Him and walk out the Word?
We need to repent, change our minds about our circumstances, so we'll be ready like the man with the pitcher.
That's right.
When our time comes.
Amen.
Number seven, be available.
Wow.
Be available, ready to be a blessing. Mm. Man with the pitcher was available, and he became a blessing for all the generations since.
That's right.
God wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing.
That's right. Hebrews 6:14 in the Message Bible says, he said, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Think of this. Bless and bless and bless. Woo!
I even put on the outline how you can personalize that scripture.
That's right.
You know, he said, I promise that I'll bless, put your name. For instance, he said, I will promise that I'll bless Ray with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. He said, I promise that I'll bless Maya with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. Wow.
Amen.
God says, I will bless you with everything I have. Do you get a hold of that? God wants to bless us with everything he has. But
sadly,
I wonder how many people are taking God up on that.
That's right.
And realizing that that's truth mm-hmm. and applies to their lives.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Sadly, there are some people who love God with all their hearts.
Yeah.
But they think that when the scripture says God will bless us, that means he's taking us to eternity with him, to the sweet by and by.
And he is, but.
And he is. But John 10:10 says he does more than that. New Living Translation says, I want to give you a rich and satisfying life. That's what this scripture means. He wants to bless us.
Amen.
He wants to give us that kind of life. Mm. Now, this word blessed, according to Strong's Concordance, the word blessed found in Hebrews 6:14 is the Greek word eulogeo. Eulogeo. I didn't look up the number. I forgot the number on that one. But listen to what blessed means. To cause to prosper.
Wow.
To make happy.
Woo.
To be favored of God.
That's what we are.
Blessed means to cause us to prosper, to make us happy, and to be favored of God. And he wants to bless us so we can bless others.
Amen.
We can help others prosper, be happy, and live in favor with God.
And when we do that, we're blessed again. It's just a blessing cycle.
And we're talking about being blessed, prospered, and favored by God.
Amen.
Right here, right now, 189 days before this year is over.
That's right. Matthew 24:44. In the New Living Translation says, you also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. So we are expecting. We need to live in expectation.
We need to be instant in season and
That's
out of
right.
season. The man was a pitcher, was ready for his assignment.
Amen.
When his opportunity came,
he
faithfully, executed the assignment that he was given to do.
Amen.
The question is,
all right,
are we ready? Are we ready? Is 2017 going to be the rest of this year just be another year? Or is it going to be our year of unlimited miracles, success, prosperity,
mm-hmm.
blessings, being favored by God in everything we do? When we wake up every morning, do we expect and do we believe that the favor of God is going to move through us?
Mm.
Do we believe that? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our year, the rest of this year,
mm-hmm.
needs to be filled with expectation.
That's right.
And manifestation of
yes.
miracles. And no matter what's happened in the first 6 months of this year,
Think of the people we can bless.
Think about how God can pick you out of the crowd.
Yes.
And use you.
Just the right time.
At the right time
for the right
to be
assignment.
A vessel
yeah.
to bring the living water to
That's
other people.
Right. Amen.
To bring it to other people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Here's the question. Are we listening to the voice and to the Spirit of God?
Amen.
Remember this. The voices in your life will determine the choices in your life.
Amen.
That's
the key.
And God wants to bless you.
The decision is ours.
The decision is ours.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I preach myself happier. I know. Seriously, I did.
Okay, a couple of things before you go away. And thank all of you for joining us tonight.
Mm.
And if this particular teaching blessed you, send us an email or a letter and let us know that it did.
And yes.
That would bless us. A couple things before you go. Stephen, on our podcast, they're listed by date. You need to make sure tomorrow that you listen to June 21st and June 22nd. And it's things you need to learn to make the rest of this year amazing, successful, prosperous, walking in favor.
Hallelujah.
It's absolutely a great teaching. Didn't feel led to do it tonight, but it's available for you.
It's very good.
At the website. It's got free podcasts. Check them out.
And Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
That's something
every
else.
Every morning.
If those of you who are joining just that, for this tonight, you need to make it your business.
Yes.
To join us every morning at 8:30 Eastern for Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
Tune in.
It's 13 minutes long.
For the playback.
If you're working at 8:30, then you can listen to the playback.
That's right.
We have people who listen to it driving to or from work. We have people listening to it, you know, different ways, different places, all around the world.
That's right.
Go to HaroldHerry.com, click the button that says Rich Thoughts for Breakfast, and it'll give you the phone number for the live call and also for the feed, the playback.
That's right.
But make it your business to be a part of that. And let me also say, if you've been blessed by this teaching, by our ministry, go to HaroldHerry.com at the top where it says sow a seed. Mm. Just ask God what seed He'd have you sow. If you don't do the internet, you know, just ask God what He'd have you do and send it to, you know, here, Debt Free Army, Post Office Box 900,000, Fort Worth, Texas, 76161. Post Office Box 900,000, Fort Worth, Texas, 76161.
We appreciate it.
Hallelujah.
That. Amen.
I want you to know, if you drive, if there's a CVS pharmacy or Walgreens or some other pharmacy, Rite Aid or whatever in your city, if you go out tonight and drive by, just know, don't be surprised to see, if you see the devil coming out with a case of Prozac. Because we can tell you he does not like what we taught you tonight.
That's right.
But this is destiny changing.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen. Doing the word is destiny changing.
Excuse me. Take your mouse, sow your seed.
Yep.
Join us tomorrow morning at 8:30. And make sure you listen to June 21st, 22nd podcast. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
It's the only way to live.
That's right.